any of you are familiar with the concept of merch. If you know what merch is, a shorthand for merchandise. And nowadays, it's so easy to make merch. Often, if you listen to podcasts, sometimes a podcast will have some merch. They'll have t-shirts and they'll say something on the show and someone will say, "Oh, that's great. Put it on a t-shirt. Put that on it. It'd make a great t-shirt." And often I will see verses from our scripture today on t-shirts in one way or the other. But before I get to our scripture, I just want to point out some of the merch that I have seen around lately. It's now that it's fall, you might want to get yourself a fall t-shirt. So this is a good one. This is one that says, "Humpty Dumpty had a great fall." And it's Humpty Dumpty enjoying a pumpkin spice latte and playing in the leaves. And this I really enjoyed. I don't know if any of you, maybe you can't see if you understand it. Yes, it's a chameleon and some commas. And it's comma, 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 chameleon. And there's the exact number of commas that are in that song. Now, of course, being a church, you might think, well, I wanna see some Christian merch. And there's certainly an abundance of Christian merch. And I always liked, and this is from when I was a kid, whenever it's kind of a parody of real type of things. And so I found this one. This is from a mayonnaise jar. It says, "May your light shine for Jesus. Spread it around." And there's also, if you don't like mayonnaise, you want ketchup, there's also ketchup with Jesus. "Blessed from my head, tomatoes." Blessed from my head, tomatoes. And of course, in this time and space, when you wear a shirt, a lot of times it will be an identity marker. The things that we put on our shirts, sometimes they're all in just good fun, but a lot of times people will wear something on their shirt because they want to say, "This is who I am." For example, you're going to get a very different reaction from people if you wear a raised right shirt versus wearing a rainbow shirt. These kind of give two very different senses of identity. But for me, I like my political shirts to be like this. "Fonz for president. Make America say A again." But even shirts that don't seem to say anything about our identity say something about our identity. Because a lot of times what we wear, what we project is a reflection of ourselves. And the idea of identity, the idea of who are we, is really central to this passage of Scripture. Now, last week we talked a little bit about the identity of Jesus and how Jesus tried to shape his identity with the disciples when they were saying, "You are the Messiah." And he would say, "No, I am not the Messiah in the way that you think. I am the Messiah in the way because I am the Son of Man, the human one." And this is how Jesus wanted to frame who he was to his disciples. Now, the verse that we heard today is a verse that follows right after the one that we read last week. And it is really about what the identity of his disciples or his followers will be. And a lot of times this scripture is misinterpreted as a way of justifying suffering or justifying hardship. And really what I want to emphasize as I begin today is that Jesus is talking more about commitment in this scripture, much more so than suffering. It is a commitment to what it means to follow Jesus. And by following Jesus, he's meaning to say to live according to his commandments, to really hear what he is saying, not just hear them, but be open to them, be open to this understanding. And so what Jesus says is, he says, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." If anyone wants to be a disciple, They must take up their cross, deny themselves, and follow me. What is Jesus talking about? Well, the idea of taking up your cross would have been something that, even though that Jesus had not gone through this time of crucifixion, they understood what this meant. They understood what this practice was, because when someone was crucified, not only were they put up on the cross, they had to carry this cross to this place of suffering. So what is Jesus trying to say by saying this, by using this symbol of suffering and torture? Well, I want to talk about what I don't think that Jesus is trying to say. I don't think that Jesus is trying to say that one must suffer for the sake of suffering, that one must seek out hardship in order to justify their belief, that one must hurt themselves or have others hurt them. I also don't think that Jesus is trying to justify people's suffering, particularly systems of oppressions that cause suffering. I don't think that Jesus is trying to say that anyone who is going through suffering, who is being abused, who is being treated unfairly, should just grin and bear it, because that's what it means to follow Jesus. In fact, I think that Jesus was really trying to, throughout the Gospel of Mark, upset the systematic suffering that was happening in the world and create a place that was much more along the lines of sharing and giving and caring. However, I do think that Jesus is saying that you do need to be willing to give some things up. You do need to be willing to sacrifice. One of the things that you must be willing to give up is your ego. When Jesus says, deny yourself, I think what Jesus is trying to say is that we all have that little voice inside us that says, me, me, me. Only me. Me first. I want it. It's mine. It should be mine. I think Jesus is trying to say, listen to that voice. And sometimes, or often, deny that voice. Not in the sense of that we need to deny all of the needs that we might have. I don't think that's the point. I think the point is that when we hear that voice, when that voice is speaking to us and our needs are coming at the expense of others, then we need to deny that voice. I think Jackie made the perfect analogy in our Sunday school class this morning, talking about COVID toilet paper. How there are those who needed to hoard as much toilet paper as they could use in a lifetime, denying others from having that happen. That's just one small example, but I think that this happens more and more and often, more so than we might even realize. Whenever we do something individually or collectively that benefits us at the expense of others, whether that be putting down affordable housing, or making it so that prices increase on things that people need. Whenever we deny help or assistance to others for our own benefit, I think that is not denying ourselves. But really, what I think that Jesus is trying to say is that he was setting out an agenda that was God's agenda. He was setting out a way to be and a way to live that was pleasing to God. And he was saying that sometimes this way to live might come in conflict with the things that you want. the way that you want to be, the inclinations that you have towards others. And might your fears, your worries, your anxieties might get in the way. And so when they do, you need to deny yourself. Follow me. And I think that he uses this cross because the cross is a symbol of something that is a great commitment. That in a way, he knew what his end game looked like. He knew what lie before him. And he was trying to say to them that this commitment to his disciples was a strong one, not one to be taken lightly. And so how did these disciples fare with this commitment, with taking up their cross and following him, with denying themselves? Well, they did awful. Just terrible. Just complete. It's not one or two chapters later where Jesus is walking with his disciples and he asks them, hey, what are you talking about? And they were like, oh, we weren't talking about anything. And he goes, tell me what you were talking about. And Peter, James, and John said, well, we were just trying to figure out which of us would be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. When you come into your kingdom, which of us is going to like be closest to you? Which one of us is going to be the greatest? To which, of course, Jesus probably, if it was in modern terms, he would say he smacked his head or shook his head, SMH, and says to them, you don't get it. You're still trying to value what the world values. And I'm teaching you differently, that the last is who truly will be first, and the first will be last. And in order to really lead, you must be a servant of all. And of course, they still didn't get it. Because when push really came to shove, when it really came down to a test of their commitment, they all fled. Peter, the rock, the one who Jesus called rock, upon whom he would build his church, not only left, but denied even knowing who Jesus was. Not one time, not two times, but three times. So they didn't get it. Until they did get it. Until Jesus had risen again, had opened their eyes the way that so many of the blind people throughout the scripture, their eyes were open. Their ears were open the way that those who could not hear, ears were open. They believed in ways that they had not believed before. They understood in ways they had not understood before. And they became new. Throughout the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is doing these different kinds of miracles, opening the eyes of the blind, letting the deaf hear, exorcising demons from those who were possessed. And I think it was these egos, the demon of ego that had to be exorcised from these disciples. Their idea of what power truly meant, what safety truly meant. Once all that was gone, they began to speak openly about what they knew, about what they saw, about what they believed, about this power of this Jesus. Their commitment was clear and it was unabashed. They had denied themselves and they were ready to go as far as they needed to. Their commitment would never end. This was clear in Paul's speech on that Pentecost day, telling everybody about what he knew and saw. Now, over 177 years, the Community Church of Barrington has also built up an identity, has made its commitment to following in the ways of Jesus, to following in different aspects of what we believe truly means to be committed. At times it was difficult because we are all, like I said, we are made up of people and people think differently. People believe differently. But I think that there has been a commitment to a certain kind of identity, of what it means for us as community church to follow Jesus. And there are a few ways in which we do this. One is by welcoming. By being a place that welcomes in the stranger. Welcomes in the strange. Welcomes in those who are in need of help and have nowhere else to turn. Because even churches have turned them away. I think we have made a commitment to being artistic. To seeking out the Spirit in ways that are new and different. Ways that are not able to be said with words. Only able to be said with color or with shape. I think that we help people find a place of welcome because they can come here to express themselves. I think we have a commitment to being Christian. I think that it's so wonderful that we don't have to shy away from this idea of being Christian because it is a word and it is an idea and it is something that has been co-opted and used in so many different ways that it might be hard to reclaim it for ourselves. But when we do it, we uphold what it means for us to follow in the ways of Christ. We have been kind, warm, helpful. When people come in here, they feel that they are within arms of a family. We have been open to learning new ideas, open to hearing new perspectives, open to our minds being changed, open to new ways of doing things, not stuck. And we have been spiritual. Like you'd say, well, you already said that. You said we were Christian. But that always doesn't mean the same thing. I think that one can be a identity marker and one can be an actual practice. To seeking out the Holy Spirit. To seeking out what it means to really be something that is spiritual. And if you put all of these things together, you'll see that we are wackos. And you can put that on a t-shirt if you want. It would make some great merch. But if that's what it means to be us, and if we have to be wackos, then we will be wackos. Because I think it's important that we be who we are. And I think it's important as we go forward, that we go forward as who we are. That we don't do things to try to be something that we are not. That we don't do things to try to be something that we think we are supposed to be because of some other idea of who we are supposed to be or what we are supposed to do. But we look to what has gotten us here. What has made us who we are. And trust that this is Christ working in us as a church. And as we go forth for the next 177 years, that we go forth upholding all of these values. So that those who are seeking, those who need a place that is welcoming, that is artistic, that is Christian and kind, that is open and spiritual, will find it in this place. And the people said, Amen.